Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. My name is Daryl Urbanski, your host as always. And today we are joined by Harold John Laborte, the founder, vice chairman, and CEO of Kapili Trading Inc. and Matter of Trust Philippines. Kapili Trading, founded in 2021, transforms waste human hair into valuable byproducts for industries like agriculture and fashion, aiming for social, environmental, and economic impact. Harold holds a degree in business economics from Xavier University and is completing his master's in urban and regional planning at UP Diliman. I've asked Harold to join us here today to share his story and insights in the future, on the future of innovation and sustainability. So Harold, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you doing?
Hi, Daryl. Thank you for having me. I'm doing great.
Yeah. Good.
Thank you. Thank you so much for considering us.
It's good to have you here. Now, how did you even get started? First off, it's a very innovative thing that you're working on now, and I want to get into that, but you went to school for business. Is this like a family trade? Do you come from a family of entrepreneurs?
Actually, my parents are not into business, but my dad always shared to me that my grandfather, my dad's father, is actually into business, was actually into business. He used to introduce public transportation here in the city during its early days, but it's no longer existing.
Right.
So definitely within my direct family, I'm the only one who's into business, while my parents and my brother are not.
And so did you get into this at a young age? Were you selling Tahoe on the street as a kid? How did you get into business? Did you first do academia, or what was your business? What did your business career look like?
Yeah, so basically, the reason why I was into business school, because I really love to go into business, even since I was still a kid. Maybe what formed me is how I was always being elected in classrooms as the leader. It's always satisfying to actually have a goal in your class, in your classroom, way back in elementary, high school, and even college, and then help my classmates achieve a goal. And I think that helped me form who I am today and venture into business as well.
Got it. So is this your first business venture, or have you been involved in other businesses between then and now?
Right after college, I was working with different companies. One of them is also a startup, but this is actually my first business venture. Kapili is actually my first business venture.
And how did you get the idea? Again, I think it's great. I'm going to let you answer, because obviously this is your interview, but I was really inspired when I was a teen because I heard about ZERI, Zero Emissions Research Institute, which was a division once upon a time of the United Nations, because there was a German guy who had built a car wash and a microbrewery that had no waste products. Like the brewery used the leftover hops from making beer to grow mushrooms and feed chickens. No, to feed chickens and the poop from the chickens to grow mushrooms. Like the thing was powered by a water wheel by the river. Like the whole thing was just like a machine, like a clock. And there were no, in this car wash was the same way. And so I was always fascinated by that. And that's part of what piqued my interest with what you're doing. Back to you. How did you even get the idea of turning waste hair into a product?
Yeah, fun history is that the concept behind Kapili, or the concept behind the use of human hair as a raw material, actually started when I was still in high school. It was actually my science thesis. At that time, in our city, by the way, I'm based here in Mindanao in the Philippines. So for those who's listening and not familiar about Iligan City, we're located at the south of the Philippines. So basically, at that time, more than 10 years ago, there was actually a wide banning of plastics to be used in commercial establishments. You cannot use plastics for packaging. So the government banned it, the local government banned it. When I was still in high school, I was tasked to do a research to have alternatives for plastics. As a means for packaging material.
Okay.
So my research back then was the use of hair as a raw material for packaging. It's because of our tensile strength, right? So if you try to pick your hair, at least a strand of your hair, and try to break it, it's actually very difficult. Just breaking it with your own hand, right? Because there are certain weights that you can actually carry with the use of your hair. So that's how I started. That was my study. But of course, Daryl, when you're still in high school, right, you have a different mindset. You just want to graduate and you want to go to college, right? So I totally forgot everything about it. And then fast forward 2021. So I was doing my science research in high school around 2010, 2011. And then fast forward to 2021 at the height of pandemic. So I was actually working in Manila, in the capital. And then it's because it's pandemic, I decided to go back to my hometown to spend more time with family.
Right.
And then I decided no longer to go back to Manila. So I wanted to settle back here in my hometown and then start my own business. So I was actually looking over my different list of potential businesses that I wanted to start here in my hometown when suddenly I browsed on my high school thesis manual. It's because I always keep my notes, even when I was still in high school, in elementary, I always keep them in one corner in the house. And then I suddenly saw my manual. So I just tried to open it. And I was curious what's happening already with human hair. Are there any innovations that have been made? So I tried to Google them. And I was shocked that in other parts of the world, like in US and in Europe, they've been doing a lot already in terms of human hair. They have been innovating human hair for different industries. So at the same time, I was also disappointed in myself. Why? Because it could have been me who started it years ago, right? I could have introduced it already. I could have started it. But the good catch here is that here in Southeast Asia and here in the Philippines, no one is still doing it. Right. So that became my mission to inform everyone that, hey, your waste has a lot of potential. Your human hair has a lot of potential. It can change the world. So here we are in Kapili. So that's how we do things in Kapili. So we partner with communities. We do a social enterprise model because for us to introduce this innovation, we don't only want to profit on it personally, but we want to bring in communities as well to grow with us. So yeah, that's Kapili in its history.
So I love it. I wouldn't beat yourself up too much. They say the pioneers get the arrows, the settlers get the land. So it's okay to follow versus be the one that founds it. So can you explain for people that maybe are bewildered by this idea, what are some of the types of things you can do with what's typically human hair waste?
Yeah, actually in other countries, they have already started the use of human hair. The most common one is fashion, right? You trade your hair to fashion because of hair wig, hair extensions. But some of the unique industries, like for example, construction, they have actually infused human hair because of its tensile strength for concrete reinforcement. So it's possible. They have also used human hair for textile. So I think there's a company in Netherlands wherein they actually converted your human hair into different types of clothing. But of course, with the right science, it's no longer yuck, right? People might think that when it comes to human hair, why are you putting hair in my clothes? But of course,
most fabrics have come from wool. That's
correct.
Yeah, so that's not, people got to get over that.
Yeah, and then there are also certain chemicals that you can extract from hair that can be used for food preservation. And there's a lot more. But here in Kapili, right now, what we're doing is that we've been using human hair for pollution remediation and for agriculture. So when we talk about pollution remediation or waste treatment, it's because our hair can actually absorb oil for oil spills. And I think it's a proven fact already. There's a lot of scenarios already wherein we've been using hair to absorb oil during oil spills in the oceans. The most recent one was last year in Mindoro. It's a huge incident, Mindoro oil spill here in the Philippines. And we actually donated around 600 kilograms of human hair to the affected community. And we partner with an organization to help them convert it into oil adsorbent booms. To help for the cleanup during the oil spill. Aside from that, oil spills don't only happen in the oceans, but it can also happen on land. For example, in your facilities, like in your manufacturing facility area, wherein there are leakages from your machines or equipments, right? So that uses fuel or uses oil. So it's used to treat it. At the same time, it also absorbs certain chemicals as well. So that's how we use hair for waste treatment. And for agriculture, the best part about agriculture is that our human hair contains a lot of nitrogen, which is actually good for the plants. So it acts as a natural fertilizer and it helps retain your moisture content. It's actually very good. And it's actually, we're currently doing a research and we found out our initial findings is that we tried to infuse human hair for a hydroponic setup. And we compare it with soil, And the best results is in around 9 to 12 days of sowing, we were able to grow seedlings with the use of water and air only. The growth rate is around 80 to 95% versus soil, which is around 20 to 25% only. So that's the beauty of
hair. I have hydroponics. I've got 144 plant hydroponic stand. Are you saying I should start over the water bucket? Is that what I need to do? Or just need to start shaving over top of
we have a machine wherein we can actually form a structure or a design for your hair so that it holds, it felts within each other. But yeah.
That's fantastic. That kind of makes sense. I love concepts like this. So is there are you partnering with a lot of barbershops? I imagine they're just like hair factories for you that you just, yeah. Is that
We partnered with salons and barbershops in the city. So right now we have almost 80 partners. So it's a form of social advocacy as well, Daryl, because we wanted to teach them to divert their waste from the landfill. So right. We want to teach them how to segregate properly the human hair. And at the same time, since we're on a social enterprise model, we want them to benefit as well from this process. Like for every waste that they trade with us, they get incentives. Mm-hmm. So that's the beauty as well of social entrepreneurship. You don't only grow as a business, but you also help the community grow.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. You're fitting into a web. I think that's great. You're turning someone else's trash into a treasure.
Correct.
And it's a renewable resource because I know, at least me, I need to go get a haircut once, twice. So I think that's fantastic. What are some of the future trends that you're seeing in the health industry? What are you watching and paying attention to in terms of, hair industry? Because like you mentioned, there are different trends, different emergence. What are you most excited about when it comes to using human hair?
Actually, we have a lot in our pipeline to explore about human hair. The beauty with the human hair is that it's everywhere.
Right.
In terms of people talk about in business, if you talk about supply demand, in terms of supply, hair is there anywhere.
Body hair the same as head hair? Is there a difference between body hair or head hair? Because I have a friend.
We're only using head hair.
Okay. I was going to say, I have a friend. Yeah. We call him Wolverine. He could probably take care of a whole town. He's just such a hairy guy. Okay. So what's the difference between head hair and body hair then?
Actually, there's not much difference, but with head hair, at least it's a bit cleaner.
And longer. You're getting more.
Yeah, and it's easy to collect because when you go to salons and barbershops, people will have their hair cut directly from the head, not from your butt. So we have a lot of product R&D in the pipeline. So we wanted to introduce them. So right now, aside from pollution remediation, waste treatment, and agriculture, we're looking at the use of human hair for thermal insulation system. Mm-hmm. To be 3 to 5 years from now. We have partnered with another organization for this one. And then we are supposed to start prototyping our human hair to be converted to paper last year. But since we're currently fundraising for an equipment, we actually move it in our calendar. But yeah, a potential of human hair to be used as a specialty paper for secondary packaging material. It's the same as my research way back in high school, right? For a packaging material. Right. But with this one, we're infusing it for paper. So
I love that. So I want to go back to the construction uses, because you talked about using it with cement, and also you said just now thermal insulation. But isn't hair biodegradable? Isn't that an issue if you build your building with human hair and then it turns to dirt in 5 years?
Basically, to clarify, the human hair is just used as a reinforcement.
So what does that mean?
But it's not actually the total product. Yeah, it's just to reinforce the concrete. Yeah.
But it's put into the mix, isn't it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's put into the mix, correct.
That's what I'm saying. So is there a way to try to reduce, is the benefit of human hair in these products is it's by, obviously, I guess with the oil spills and the agriculture, the fact that it's biodegradable is a huge asset. But that's what I'm saying. Is that a challenge? If I'm going to use it for insulation for my house, is that a challenge? Is this something that I'd have to replace every few years, do you think? Or I'm just asking. I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but yeah, okay. Got it. Okay.
So yeah, definitely you need to replace it because hair eventually will start to decompose already.
Right.
But the good part here is that if you are to dispose your hair, you can only just put it in your plants back. for nitrogen and for fertilizer.
There's a lot of bahay kubos for people that don't know. It's a common thing here. There are houses made out of bamboo, and I'm not sure what kind of leaves it is, but it's like a thatched roof, essentially, which are leaves, and that biodegrades too. So the bahay kubos, you have to replace the roof every few years. No, I was just asking, because I wasn't sure if you're saying that you found some way to treat it. Now I didn't know about that. What are some of the biggest challenges in terms of being following the social enterprise model?
The biggest challenge would always be about, especially if you're dealing with human hair as your product, right? It was actually entry to market because you're using human hair. No one at first knows about it, right? Mm-hmm. Here in the Philippines, my perspective is here in the Philippines. So there's always a challenge, but there's always that curiosity from the people. So when we had this kind of booth expo in one of the malls, so we actually displayed our products. So right. the first thing that people have come into mind is that, why are you using hair? So right. There's a yuck factor. What? Is that hair? But then when you start explaining, then the questions come in and their curiosity comes in. And then now they try to understand, oh, wow, there's a possibility with my human hair. Right. So that's in terms of marketing, that's one of the challenges. When we started Kapili, because you're trying to convince people that human hair, although they're already sanitized on our part, actually has a lot of potential. And this is not something that you should be afraid of to touch, because it's other people's hair, right? I think that's one of the challenges. The second one is that since we're dealing with a community as a social enterprise, there's a pressure from us to actually already find clients or sales, because the community that you're working with can also benefit from it. So it's if we cannot make money, the community partners doesn't have anything else as well.
Right.
So it's an added pressure for us and entrepreneurs that, hey guys, we need to step up and we need to fast track our processes, our sales, because we have a community that we're working with. We're not only talking about the salons and barbershops, but right. because we also partnered with a community of mothers. These are unemployed women and unemployed mothers who's actually using the technology we acquired from the US. So they are actually the one who manages the machine, so that the human hair can be converted into something. So we're working with different communities for this one. Yeah.
So keeping sales coming through the door. What's the biggest advantages? So let's go through the two primary use cases that I think are large scale projects for a lot. Obviously, going back to the oil spills, that's a large scale project typically. What is the competitive advantage? Why? Okay, I like the sustainability of it, but at the end of the day, I've got a budget. I've got a big emergency on my hands. Why would I use your product versus the conventional method?
Correct. By the way, just to give context, right now, the field of oil adsorption, there's only one product in the market.
Oh.
And they are made of synthetic plastics.
Mm.
So basically, they are effective. They pose significant environmental challenges due to their non-biodegradable nature. So basically, what we offer with our product is that we can also do what they can do, but it's actually better. We do not only match the performance of these oil plastic based sorbents, but we also offer the environmental benefits I've shared to you. So the good thing about human hair, the use of human hair for oil adsorption, is that first, its adsorbent capacity, it can actually carry 6 to 9 times its weight, which is actually better than the plastic or synthetic one. Like, for example, if your oil adsorbent is made from human hair is 1 kilogram, it can actually carry 6 to 9 times kilogram. So its adsorbent capacity, plus it can absorb faster than any polypropylene booms. And then it costs cheaper. Why? Because it's human hair. You don't need to manufacture a lot. You don't need to do synthetic plastic manufacturing. You just get human hair. You form it into a structure and put it in your design. Right. So that's why our pricing right now is 25% cheaper than what's currently available in the market. And it's very sturdy. Again, because of the tensile strength of human hair.
I love that. Now, is it absorbent for any liquid or oil specifically?
Oil, fuel, any other chemicals as well.
Chemicals, okay.
Hydroquinones, yeah.
So it wouldn't work in diapers because that's just urine.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. No, I was asking because I didn't know. Okay, so that's a huge benefit because it's not a synthetic plastic. It's cheaper. It's maybe as strong or stronger. And then again, the fact that you can move it, put it, and treat it better, I think, because you don't have all this plastic. You don't have to worry about microplastics. You're just trying to treat it. And there's different microbes, and I believe even some mushrooms that have been used to treat different types of oil and even nuclear waste. And so this would be actually a great medium for that. So I think that's fantastic. Now, how about with fertilizer? Let's talk about agriculture. Why would I care? Why would I go buy the human hair versus the thing that I normally buy?
Because it's still better. So the one that's currently used right now in the Philippines for this kind of activities, we have a coco peat. I'm not sure if you're familiar with coco peat, right? Yep. Coco sawdust. So actually, it works better, again, because human hair has nitrogen. And it can retain moisture content compared to the coco peat. So yeah, that's the beauty. And you let it decompose as well. So it's a natural fertilizer. It's biodegradable as well.
Okay. So what's the nitrogen content of hair? If somebody here is a garden and they like, how much hair do I need to use to get whatever? Like now I just get the bottle and it's whatever those numbers are versus human hair. Is it less? You know what I'm trying to say? That's really it. How do you go about dosing? Is that something, like how do you measure how much nitrogen you're giving your plants? I guess you don't have to worry about nitrogen burn either. That's something with a lot of chemical fertilizers. There's nitrogen burn. It burns all the plants. If it's too close to the roots, it can hurt the plant that you fertilize. You're not going to have that with human hair. I guess there's a natural slow release, an organic
correct.
Release of nitrogen over time with human hair.
Correct.
How do you go about measuring how much? Or is it because it's naturally released, it almost doesn't matter and you just pile it all in?
Yeah, we actually haven't measured it yet, like how many nitrogen have been released. But yeah, because it's organic, we just let it there. We will let it decompose in your soil.
It's like cow manure. They're not, when they spray a field with cow manure, they're not measuring how much is getting to each plant. They're just spraying the manure everywhere. Fair enough. I think that is fair. I think that's such a great thing. How close to the roots does it have to be? Are you putting it on as a mulch? Is it
It's a mulch. So you can actually, there are two case scenarios. It's either you have these indoor plants, the potted plants. So we have designs, these circular designs wherein you can actually put the mat on top of your soil, or you can also put it below the soil if it's a potted plant. But of course, if you are in a wider agricultural area, you don't need the circles, the circle design, but you need the wider mats.
Right.
So you can just put it on top of your soil. So yeah. And it actually helps you with your weeding problems.
Right.
And for any pest or any animals that would just go over to your plants, so it would avoid them because of the human hair.
What do you mean? I think that's a huge added bonus. So is it a natural deterrent for pests?
Correct. Yeah.
How? Why? Tell me more.
There's this kind of, I'm not sure with the term. I forgot the term. But it's, they don't go to you because of your hair, something like that. Like, for example, I'm not sure if they smell something from the hair. That's why they cannot go like the normal pest. And even the animals like stray dogs, right? If you have stray dogs in your farm, or let's say any other kind of animals that would go and destroy your plants. So they would try to avoid that.
Really?
Yeah. So that's why it's good for your weeding problems, for your pest control, and then for your any stray animals who want to destroy your crops, something like that.
Wow, that's very interesting. And then how is it on pricing? Is it about the same? What's the price difference between conventional fertilizer and human hair fertilizer?
Oh, but we do not recommend to only use human hair as your only fertilizer. You can still use that. It's just that this is more of a support. It's an added support because, again, maybe in other organic fertilizers, they have these certain nutrients as well that is needed for the plants. So
what's the mineral density? Do you know what the mineral composition is of hair? What kind of minerals are they getting?
We do have, but I don't have it in my hand right now.
I'm asking impromptu questions. It's because I was like, if you're going to say that there's a lot of magnesium in hair, I'm like, could you imagine a magnesium health supplement? Like just hair capsules that you eat. Hey, minerals a mineral, right? Whether it's from hair or rocks or who knows where else they get it. People take collagen and that's crushed up fish scales. So
got it.
Now, let me ask another thing is that, so we're talking about future trends. We talked about thermal insulation, paper, finding alternative uses. I guess with the big push to sustainability, Is it mostly oil spills and agriculture that you feel, or are there other, what do you think, maybe I'm asking a question you've already answered, but what do you feel are the biggest opportunities for using hair that people don't realize right now?
I would still go for oil spills because it's a very expensive incident. So whenever there are oil spills, it costs the government millions or billions. And we're not only talking about public oil spills that can also happen in your working areas, in your facilities.
Right.
And aside from that, the goal really here is that why do we need human hair to entrap special chemicals or oils? Because we don't want them to go directly to our bodies of water.
Of course.
So I think that's the best benefit that we can have with our waste hair, to help the government, to help the companies as well, to treat their waste properly before it goes to our water, regardless if it's an oil spill or no. As long as you can capture it early on before it goes to the drainage, then it's actually a total big help already.
Right.
And for agriculture as well, basically, if your area is actually very scarce in terms of water, then definitely this actually helps because of its moisture content capability. So it helps hold the temperature, the moisture, which can actually help you grow your plants, your crops.
So let's go. Because we talked about oils, what are some of the other chemicals that it absorbs? Because it doesn't absorb water. I'm even thinking, because you talk about agriculture, there's a lot of runoff, livestock, wastewater.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, is this something that could be used potentially to help treat that? To a certain, obviously it wouldn't be for drinking water, but there's a lot of livestock ranches where they've just got huge sludge ponds that are just eventually getting back to the water table. I'm just curious, what are the chemicals that you're aware of that hair really helps capture?
Yeah, so basically it can capture iron, any iron waste. It can also capture some hydrophenols and even fatty oils in your restaurant. That's why you can actually use our mats. If you own a restaurant, maybe it's a big restaurant or maybe a restaurant just on the road. That's what we call here in the Philippines, a calenderia, if you're familiar, right? Basically, soap greases or even the fatty oils. So it actually can still cause pollution problems. So before you dispose it to any bodies of water directly to the oceans or to the river, so why not try to capture it with the use of your mat? So it actually helps a lot in terms of cleaning our water. So yeah, fatty oils.
Yeah, got it. Okay. So can you share some of the insights into the culture and values? You talked a bit about social entrepreneurship and being a contributor. You're providing employment to stay-at-home moms. You're trying to connect the salons and allow them to, instead of pay, to have waste taken away, but actually turn it into a profit center. You're working with local government units and maybe larger organizations and agencies in terms of trying to clean up environmental waste. Can you speak to a little bit about the culture and values that drive your organization?
It's always our commitment to society and the environment. I think that's what keeps us together. We came from different backgrounds. Me and my founders came from different backgrounds. So you have urban planning, you have law, you have business, marketing. Actually, no one in the team is actually into science. Again, the concept of human hair is just because of my high school thesis. But no one is actually majored in science. No one was actually exposed to the hair care industry. No one had been working there. But what kept us together, what keeps us together right now is that because there's a potential for this waste to actually make a difference.
Right.
So it's more of a commitment to a society. Like, we do have our own daytime jobs, but why are we doing this? Because we believe that we can make a difference. Things in our own capacity with the use of just human hair, we can make our difference for the society and for the environment. And I think that's the biggest value, the strongest value that we have right now as a team. That keeps us moving forward.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's really exciting. I'm very interested in this and seeing how this project goes. I love this idea. It makes me feel like we also need to talk about hemp more, because hemp, something like an acre of hemp can produce 10 times what an acre of trees can produce. And it has better utility. I just think as a species, as a civilization, we need to try to throw off the shackles of either the status quo, where it's not the best solution available. And we just need to be smarter about how we do things. I feel like we have everything that we need right now today to solve the majority of the world's issues, but don't because of things like crony capitalism and parasitic entities that are sitting fat in certain. Now I'm getting off. I'm going on a soapbox rant here about the injustices of the world, so to speak. But I do feel that we need to push more towards meritocracy. And I'm a big advocate for sustainability, but not like in the bleeding heart. We need humans are bad. We need to save the people. Forget. I'm going to rant for a minute, but it's my podcast, so I guess I can. People forget that before we develop technology, the livable area of this planet was the equator and near to it. If you went outside of that, like the original pioneers that went to Canada, they all died. They showed up in spring and was like, wow, this place is great. They had a great summer. And then they all died in the winter because they weren't prepared. There's so many parts of this planet that we live on. And the only reason why we can live there is because we developed technology to survive in a hostile environment. And so everyone has this idea of Earth being like Mother Gaia. And I believe to that to a certain point, but at the same time, it's a love adversarial relationship where there's places we can't live without technology. So I'm very much that we need to find a sustainable way to not defecate in our drinking water, to not fill our food chain with microplastics, like to not deforest the entire planet and create these massive heat sinks. I believe in that. So I just love that this is a resource. It's almost like the biggest asset in this is education and the intellectual property on how to use it. Is there a case to use it as plastics? Could I eventually be, instead of having a plastic bag in my grocery store, could I be getting a bag out of human hair? Is that?
Hopefully in the future, once we produce those kind of products.
How do you do, because you're dealing with clippings. So how do you turn a bunch of clippings, an inch, 2, 3 inches long into a cohesive, a fiber of a certain, of a meter length with tensile strength?
Yeah, we have a machine. This is what we got from our partner from the US. So it's actually a felting machine. So that's from Matter of Trust, which we are part of right now. So Matter of Trust is an organization based in California. What they do is they make environmental activities and environmental impact activities across the world. But one of their major projects is actually the human hair, converting it for oil spills. So remember my story earlier when I was actually searching online what other countries have started doing it. That's where I find Matter of Trust. Of course, when starting a business, we don't have funds yet. So what we did here in the Philippines, we do bootstrapping. Right. So as much as possible, we try to partner with different organizations who can help us co-produce the product. And that's how we contacted Matter of Trust that, hey, we're also starting, we want to start here in the Philippines, the creation of value chain for human hair. Maybe you can help us. So they actually provided us with the equipment.
And the equipment, it uses heat. Does it use heat to cause the fibers to
that's no not... it's a felting machine. You need electricity for it to work, but it only has certain nails in the machine. So once you put your hair, it will actually weave, or it actually felts the hair.
Oh, so regardless it's, braiding, of the it's size. Like it's braiding it all together.
Correct.
Essentially.
Correct.
Got it. Okay. That's super fascinating. That's super fast. My step adopted dad developed something and he should have patented it, but he's just such a nice guy. The competitors called and he just gave it away for free. I was dating an African Canadian. She was Nubian and she was from, her family's from Kenya and Uganda, but she's grown up in Canada. And I remember she was teaching me to braid her hair in our living room I was like 20, a lifetime ago. And my dad watched it and it got him thinking, and they would send probes down boreholes for mining exploration. And these probes are like $1 million to make, and they would lose one every 3 or 5 years because the pressure on the cable, it would snap and they'd lose it and they might be able to recover it or not. And so what he started doing is he started braiding the cable that it was attached to, and they never lost one ever again. And these other companies started calling to try and ask and figure it out. And he just told them how to do it and gave him the plans. And he was just not very, he was maybe like a Tesla, give it away for free type thing. But so that sounds like that's what they're doing. They're braiding the hair. They're weaving the hair together. And so now you're having almost an exponential output where the threads of hair woven together like that, braided together, like are stronger than even a single strand of hair would be. So I could see how you could create some very formidable like raw materials out of that. That's I'm very fascinated by this. I'm going to keep my finger on the pulse.
Thank you. And if you happen to visit in Mindanao, you can also visit our facility with our mothers who is actually working with the machine.
Sure.
So you can get to firsthand experience how you can felt the human hair.
Do you have a gift shop? I'd want to buy like human hair shorts and t-shirt. This has been a great call. Is there anything I haven't asked you that I should have asked you?
I think you've asked everything, but maybe I wanted to add something as well. When it comes to waste management or when it comes to recycling, we always keep on hearing like waste paper, waste metal, waste plastics. Because right now, that's the most common, right? But no one actually cared about human hair. So that's why we actually started this advocacy as well. Because we want to share to everyone that there are other types of waste that maybe right now no one actually cared about.
Right.
But this actually causes certain pollution problems. And we don't want them to be like plastics, wherein we were too late already to try combating it, right? We already started combating it when it's already in our front already, and it's happening. So as early as now, that's why we keep on advocating that as early as now, try to find ways, regardless of what kind of waste is that, try to find ways on how you can actually upcycle it. Maybe that's the next big thing. Maybe that's the next big project you can have as a citizen of your community. So try to find ways to actually make value out of something from this kind of waste. But yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for inviting us.
If people want to get in touch, if they want to learn more, what are some of the best ways for them to reach out?
You can actually search us in Facebook. It's Kapili, C-A-P-I-L-I. For those who are interested to know what Kapili means, by the way, it's not a family name. A lot of people are confused. They are talking, Harold, are you Harold Kapili? No, I'm not Harold Kapili. Kapili is a Latin term for hair.
Oh.
Yeah, because most of us in the founders graduated from a Jesuit-run university. So Jesuits love Latin, right? So that's why we convert hair into a Latin term, which is Kapili. So yeah, you can search us in Facebook, C-A-P-I, Kapili, or we are also found in LinkedIn and Instagram. So at Kapili Trading Inc.
So do some searching for Kapili, C-A-P-I-L-I, Trading Inc. Go take a look. Go learn what they're doing. I love it. Harold, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an honor and a pleasure. Thank you for coming and sharing this social enterprise innovation. Again, I'm very excited to keep tabs on this and see how you guys are doing and follow up with you later. So thank you.
Thank you, Daria.